The walk from a friend's house to a quiet apartment in the hills of Berkeley should have been a mundane conclusion to a Monday night. In the early hours of June 15, 2020, the air was cool, and the streets around Dwight Way were largely deserted due to the late hour and the lingering quiet of a city still grappling with pandemic restrictions. The streetlights cast long amber shadows across the pavement where 19-year-old Seth Smith was making his way home. He was a young man with a bright future, a double major at the University of California, Berkeley, who was well-liked by his peers and known for his gentle demeanor. There was no indication that his path would intersect with a profound and senseless violence that night. The quiet was shattered by the sudden sound of gunfire, a sharp report that echoed off the residential facades and vanished into the night air as quickly as it had arrived. A passerby eventually discovered a figure slumped on the sidewalk near the intersection of Dwight Way and Valley Street. The responding officers found a young man suffering from a fatal gunshot wound to the back of the head. There was no sign of a struggle, no missing wallet, and no obvious motive left behind at the scene. The victim, identified through student credentials and subsequent family notification, was Seth Smith. The initial hours of the investigation were defined by a disturbing lack of physical evidence at the scene. My team canvassed the area surrounding the 2700 block of Dwight Way, looking for shell casings or discarded items that might point to a suspect, but the site was clinical in its emptiness. We began the arduous process of tracing the victim's final movements, confirming he had left a friend's home shortly before the shooting occurred. Seth Smith had no known enemies and no involvement in high-risk activities that would typically precede a targeted execution. We reached out to the local community, seeking witnesses who might have heard more than just the shots or seen a vehicle fleeing the area. The neighborhood is a mix of student housing and long-term residential homes, yet the timing of the event meant most residents were asleep. We established a digital perimeter, identifying every private security camera and municipal feed within a 6-block radius of the crime scene. This required coordinating with dozens of homeowners to secure footage before it was overwritten by their systems. We worked through the victim's digital footprint, analyzing his phone records and social media interactions to see if there had been any recent threats or unusual communications. Everything we found pointed to a young man focused on his studies and his upcoming graduation. The lack of a clear motive forced us to consider the possibility that this was a random encounter, which is often the most difficult type of case to solve. We processed the ballistic evidence recovered during the autopsy, noting the caliber and the specific rifling marks left on the projectile. This data was entered into the national database, searching for a match with other unsolved shootings in the Bay Area. We conducted background checks on individuals with a history of violent crime in the immediate vicinity, looking for anyone who had been released recently or who had a known presence in the area on that specific night. The breakthrough in the case came not from a witness, but from the meticulous reconstruction of digital evidence and forensic tracking. We spent weeks scrubbing through hundreds of hours of grainy surveillance footage from various sources. One specific clip from a nearby residence showed a figure walking with a distinct gait in the direction of the shooting just minutes before it occurred. We tracked this individual across multiple camera angles, eventually seeing them move away from the scene at an accelerated pace. The person of interest was eventually identified as 39-year-old Tony Walker. This identification was bolstered by a combination of forensic data and community tips that placed Walker in the area. When we executed a search warrant at Walker's residence, we focused on locating the firearm used in the commission of the crime. Forensic technicians analyzed his clothing and personal items for gunshot residue and other biological markers. The technical evidence revealed that the shooting was unprovoked and lacked any prior interaction between the suspect and the victim. We examined Walker's history, finding a record of prior convictions that made his possession of a firearm illegal. The digital forensic team worked on his mobile device, mapping his location data to the exact coordinates of the crime scene at the precise time the shots were fired. This GPS data provided a high-resolution timeline that contradicted his initial statements regarding his whereabouts. We reviewed the ballistic report again, confirming that the handgun recovered during the investigation was a definitive match for the bullet that ended Seth Smith's life. The forensic evidence painted a picture of a predatory act where the victim was approached from behind and shot at close range. There was no evidence of a robbery gone wrong or an argument. The data suggested a cold, calculated action by an individual with a history of erratic and violent behavior. We cross-referenced this with statements from associates of the suspect, who described his deteriorating mental state and possession of an unauthorized weapon. The forensic evidence was the cornerstone of the case, linking the physical weapon, the digital location, and the suspect's movements into a single, cohesive narrative of guilt. The legal proceedings against Tony Walker were protracted, reflecting the gravity of the charges and the complexities of the evidence presented. Walker was charged with one count of murder and a prohibited person in possession of a firearm. Throughout the court appearances, the prosecution relied heavily on the forensic link between the murder weapon and the suspect, as well as the surveillance footage that tracked his movements through the Berkeley streets. The motive remained the most haunting aspect of the case, as the evidence continued to show that Smith and Walker were total strangers. In 2022, after a series of hearings, Tony Walker entered a plea of no contest to the charge of voluntary manslaughter. This plea deal included an admission to the personal use of a firearm during the commission of the crime. The court reviewed the aggravating factors, including Walker's extensive criminal history, which included prior convictions for robbery and assault, during the sentencing phase. The impact on the Berkeley community and the Smith family was documented in the public record. The judge sentenced Tony Walker to 25 years in state prison. This sentence was calculated based on the manslaughter charge, combined with a 10-year enhancement for the use of a firearm and additional time due to his status as a repeat offender under California's sentencing guidelines. Walker was remanded to the custody of the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation to serve his term. The Berkeley Police Department officially closed the case following the sentencing, noting that while the legal resolution provided a measure of accountability, the arbitrary nature of the violence remained a point of concern for the city. Seth Smith was posthumously honored by the University of California, Berkeley, with his family accepting his degree during a private ceremony. The final police report summarized the investigation as a success of forensic persistence over a lack of initial leads. The records show that Walker remains incarcerated, with his first parole eligibility date set well into the future. The case stands as a documented instance of a random act of lethal violence being solved through the integration of community cooperation and modern forensic technology. The evidence remains on file, a silent testament to a life interrupted and the long process of securing a conviction in the absence of an obvious cause.